Thank you for standing by, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's webinar. We have with us Mr. Nicolas Bornozis, President of Capital Link, organizer of the event. I must advise you, this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, October 28, 2014. We now pass the floor to Mr. Bornozis. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, operator, and good afternoon to everyone. This is Nicolas Bornozis, President of Capital Link. Welcome to Capital Link's webinar series. Today's webcast will feature Yorkville Capital Management on the topic of Ahead of the Curve, Upgrading MLP Exposure to Distribution Growth Leaders. We're delighted to have with us today our featured presenters, Christian Magoon of Magoon Capital and Darren Suringa of Yorkville Capital Management. This webinar has been accepted for IMCA by IMCA for one continuing education credit. So if you have not provided your CIMA number upon registration, please email the number to us at funds@capitallink.com so that you can receive the proper credit. This event is accessible through a live audio webcast and then as an audio archive through www.capitallinkwebinars.com. Please note the presentation slides that you are looking at on your screen are user-controlled. Now, this means that to access the presentation, you can look at the top right-hand corner, and you will see two buttons. One is previous slide, the other is next slide. So if you click on either button, you will go to the previous or the next slide on your own. I would like to mention that after the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. Webinar participants can submit questions through the special button on the event page, entitled Submit a Question, or you can email your questions to us at the email questions@capitallinkwebinars.com. Please note you can submit a question at any time during the event. The presentation and opinions expressed by the presenters are not intended as legal or investment advice or advice of any kind, as a matter of fact, and are provided for informational and educational purposes only, and Capital Link bears no responsibility for them. Furthermore, the presentation webcast may contain forward-looking statements concerning future events. And before concluding, I'd like to mention that our next webinar will be on Wednesday, November 19 at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, featuring Risk Management on the topic of how a dynamic allocation strategy can help navigate a volatile market environment. And for more information, please visit capitallinkwebinars.com. By the way, if you go to Capital Link Webinars, you will see we have a library of content that you can access anytime at no cost, and it's at your disposal. Thank you all for participating, and thank you to Christian and Darren for being with us. I've said enough, and I will turn the floor over to Christian and Darren. Christian, please go ahead.
Thank you, Nicolas, and thank you, Capital Link. We appreciate it. Today's webinar by Yorkville Capital Management is really about getting ahead of the curve when it comes to investing in master limited partnerships. Certainly, if you've taken a look at recent developments when it comes to oil prices or the outlook for interest rates, there are a lot of questions that are out there concerning how will this affect MLPs, their valuations, and their income. I think today you'll see that there are several key takeaways that will be beneficial to you if you're taking a closer look at the opportunities in master limited partnerships. Let me introduce Yorkville Capital Management as we go to slide two before I introduce our speaker, Darren Suringa. Many of you recognize Yorkville Capital Management, their name from a variety of the different investment solutions they have in the marketplace, from exchange-traded products to separate managed accounts. The firm is really comprised of an investment team that are essentially pioneers in the research and the investment in master limited partnerships. You see them on various media outlets as well as some of the publications in terms of their performance on, for example, their separate managed account. Our presenter today is managing partner of Yorkville Capital Management, Darren Suringa. You also probably recognize him from his conference appearances and his media appearances focused on MLPs and MLP investment solutions. Darren's a chartered financial analyst, and he'll be sharing Yorkville's unique insights into the MLP marketplace today. Afterward, he's going to address the questions that you can enter into the module. If we go to slide 3, I think we'll begin by really starting with two questions that I believe investors want to know when it comes to MLPs. The first is, what do lower energy or oil prices mean for the outlook for master limited partnerships? And then what should investors expect from MLP distributions given kind of this lower oil price environment? So I'll start out by asking Darren Scheringa, managing partner of Yorkville Capital Management, to address these need-to-know questions about MLPs. Darren?
Christian, thank you for that introduction. Nicholas and Capital Link, thank you for hosting the conference call today. The two questions that you asked, Christian, are so important, and a number of clients and prospective clients that we're looking at have been wondering what the recent pullback means as it relates to the MLP marketplace. And so we, as a firm, conducted a number of different analyses to help investors make more sense of MLPs and what to expect from MLPs in light of lowered oil prices and how they can use pullbacks in the asset class as a way of gaining exposure or increasing exposure to master limited partnerships in their portfolio or their client portfolio. So on page 3, I think the number on the bottom, MLPs, the recent pullback, putting it into perspective, and then flipping to page 4 now, we analyzed the top 10 pullbacks since the financial crisis or the Great Recession of 2008. And the conclusion that we drew was pullbacks have been a wonderful buying opportunity for investors who are either underexposed to MLPs or are looking to gain exposure and want a good entry point. And just looking at the data here, and there's a number of points, so I'm going to try to simplify it here. Look at the bottom, the averages. So on average, these top 10 pullbacks averaged price declines for MLPs of 11%. The second column we're looking at here, where the number 25 exists, 25 is the average days if an investor had purchased at the peak of MLP pricing, the peak of the market before this 11% decline. On average, the investor would have been made whole again within 25 days. So MLP pullbacks have been buying opportunities on a historical basis. We quantified then the most recent pullback from the beginning of September through mid-October, and you see the pullback is 16%. So the current pullback in MLPs has actually been one of the worst pullbacks, in fact, has been the worst pullback since the Great Recession of 2008 at 16%. So already the recovery has begun. We haven't reached our high water mark yet, but again, we're less than 2 weeks into the recovery. So why have the pullback's been buying opportunities, and that's more important than what's happened historically. And the reason for that, this is on slide number 5, or page number 5, is a strong fundamental support price. Okay, if you look at 2008, which was the best, if you want to look at it, the best buying opportunity in recent history for MLPs, MLPs dropped in line in 2008. So if you bought in 2007, you would have lost 39%, almost 40% of your investment in 2008 in MLPs. But what happened is that MLPs, the fundamentals, the distributions that MLPs produce or the cash they produce, it's called distributable cash flow, across the asset class, 75% of all partnerships maintained or increased their distributions throughout the financial crisis. So the worst recession that Warren Buffett said he's experienced in his life, 75% of all master limited partnerships maintained or increased their distributions. So what happened was yields rallied. When you had a 40% drop in price, you had yields on many partnerships move to the mid-teens. In fact, on the asset class overall, all of a sudden master limited partnerships were yielding mid-teen levels because they were maintaining their distributions. So that's why we see strong fundamentals caused a rebound. All of a sudden, investors were looking at MLPs in 2008, moving into 2009, and saying, most of these partnerships have maintained or increased their distributions. I'm getting high yield. I have quality yield because they haven't cut in this recession. So you saw that MLPs recovered their losses within 1 year. In 2009, as an asset class, they were up 80%. And it took the S&P 5 years to get back to its what we call high water mark, or to recoup the losses. Had an investor bought at the peak just before the decline, that investor would have been underwater for 5 years. An MLP, an investor that bought at the peak, would have got their money back within 12 months. Even better, had you bought at the trough on a pullback, you would have had a wonderful return experience into to 2009. The next page, page 6, we looked at pullbacks, the recent pullback, which has been tied to the price of oil, and that was one of Christian's earlier questions. What does oil mean when we look at MLPs? And so we did two analyses. On page 6, we're looking at the price performance. So when oil drops, what happens with the price of MLPs? And in this case, we looked at the top 10 price declines of oil since 2000, so over the past 14 years. And I already touched on one on the previous slide, which was 2008 into 2009. You saw oil drop from $140 a barrel to $40 a barrel. And again, let's stay with averages. It's easier to look at a lot of data in one line. And the averages show oil, on average, the worst pullbacks, the top 10 pullbacks since 2000, oil has dropped by 26%. The next column, which is MLPs, you see that MLPs have only dropped 3%. So on a price performance, so MLPs have essentially been slightly down, but basically flat. When oil's dropped 26%, MLPs, the price performance, MLPs have kind of remained flat over periods where energy prices are declining. Now, if you look, the in beginning month, the fourth one down is 6/30 of 2014. This is the most recent correction in the price of oil, and oil is pulled back through 10/14. That's the correction of MLPs. So the fourth worst oil correction since 2000 is occurring right now. Oil is down 22% from its peak. It's dropped from $105 a barrel down to $80 a barrel, and it's dropped 22%. As you can see, MLP's drop of 13% over that same time frame is one of the most one of the largest corrections in light of oil price dropping and MLP price drops over the same time frame. Now, we want to look at that, oil prices, again. So we see price, the point of this slide is oil prices show a lot of volatility over time. Generally, when oil prices decline, MLPs are basically flat over that time period, declined slightly on average. The next page, page 7, looks at the fundamentals. So our question here is, fundamentally, the distributions that MLPs produce, and distributions are the amount of cash that MLPs are able to distribute to us distribute to us as investors, so the cash flow that they produce, is the cash flow tied to the price of oil? So our conclusion is fundamentals are not tied to energy prices. In this slide, we're looking at from 2000 through 2013, again, a 10-year period here. We look at the percentage change in oil prices relative and natural gas year over year. So how much did oil increase by or decrease by, and the same with natural gas, versus the distribution growth of MLPs. So the first little bar on each one is the distribution growth of MLPs. A couple of observations just visually looking at this graph in front of you, this bar chart. 9 out of 10 occurrences here, MLPs produce positive growth year over year. So that's consistency of growth rate. And the only year it was down was 2009, and we discussed that earlier. So let me just stay with the visuals here. 9 out of 10 MLPs produce positive year-over-year cash flow growth or distributable cash flow growth. And you can see that 7 out of 10 years, either oil or natural gas was declining, and sometimes significantly, as we discussed earlier, and in the broader trend within North America has been natural gas prices declining from a high of $15. They troughed at $9, and currently natural gas is sitting around $4. And MLP distributions still 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013 have all been positive, and as well as for 2004 through 2008. So fundamentally, just based on this chart, there's very low correlation between the distributable cash flow that MLPs produce or master limited partnerships produce and the price of either oil or natural gas as commodities. So when investors get worried about oil pulling back and MLPs having a correction, look at historically, over the past 10 years, we've seen a lot of volatility in the price of oil and natural gas. But what are we seeing consistently? Consistent distribution growth coming out of master limited partnerships. And the reason for that is MLPs are either primarily infrastructure MLPs, they're long-term contracts, the businesses are really quasi-monopolies that don't have exposure to economic cycles, commodity cycles, or interest rate cycles, which give investors what they're looking for: stability of cash flow, number one, or distributions or income, however you want to look at it. And then on top of it, MLPs are an asset class that is in growth mode currently. Moving to the next slide, we learned a lot as a firm from the financial crisis or the Great Recession of 2008. So page 8 here, when we look at fundamentals, you are filled as a firm, and we really want to help you as investors and clients of ours to monitor the fundamentals of the asset class. We want to stay focused on distributable cash flow or the income that MLPs are producing that is available to investors in the form of income. So that's the fundamental that matters most. MLP investing is income investing. We want to stay focused on the fundamentals. We want to put out the noise when you look at the asset class of what's happening with oil, what's happening with natural gas, what's happening with interest rates. What we want to focus on is what's happening on fundamentals, what's happening with the cash that I'm going to receive from investing in MLPs, because that's what's most important. Is it stable and is it growing? So we look at two scores here that Yorkville created. They're on the front page of our website. And our website's www.yorkvillecapital.com. The two scores are, and they're updated on a quarterly basis as new distributions are announced each quarter from all of the underlying partnerships. The stability score, that looks at how broad-based is growth across the MLP asset class. A score of 10 means 100% of all partnerships maintained or increased their distributions in the current quarter. And I like to look at the stability score as the fixed income characteristics of MLP. That's the high current income. What's the stability of the income? How safe is my income? So what you want to see as investors or asset allocators, you want to see a stability score of 10, ideally. That means 100% of all partnerships maintained or increased their distributions. A score here in front of us, which was from the most recent quarter, was 9.8, which means 98% maintained or increased their distributions. Broad-based stability, that's a good thing. It shows that the asset class overall is healthy. The second score, which I like to look at the other characteristics of MLPs, is their equity-like characteristics from distribution growth, is the growth score. And what this score looks at is what's the intrinsic growth across the asset class for the most recent quarter. And what you want to see as investors is growth rates higher the better to a large extent. So in the most recent quarter, you had growth rates of 7.1% across the entire asset class, and 98% from the stability score maintained or increased their distributions. And the growth score, distributions grew again across the MLP asset class at 7.1%. To quantify that 7.1% growth, it means over a 10-year period of time, your income will double. So if you continue to see 7.1% growth rates across the asset class, well, that means in every 10 years, the income from this investment is going to double. I wish my salary doubled every 10 years, and I'm sure most of you wish the same thing. But that's the growth potential of MLPs currently. So at Yorkville, we have a dual mandate. Number one is financial innovation, providing investors with new and better access to the MLP asset class. And equally as important for us is investor education. We want to make it easy for investors and asset allocators to maintain a grasp over the overall health of their investment in MLPs. So for the remainder of the conference call now, I'm going to touch on financial innovation and look at distribution growth. This is page 9 I'm on right now. Distribution growth, Yorkville would argue and has argued for years, and in fact all of our actively managed portfolios fall into this category, is the investment thesis that underpins MLPs. And from the stability score and growth score, that really is reflective of a dual mandate that Yorkville maintains on all of our investment strategies that we put out and make available to the investors or the investing public. Number one, and our first investment objective, is stability of income. Our primary objective there is don't invest in an MLP that is going to cut its distribution. So we want to do due diligence and analysis that mitigates any possibility of a distribution cut. And number two, once we are comfortable with number one, that there's very low probability of a distribution cut, the second mandate is, what are the clearly identifiable catalysts for future distribution growth? Because distribution growth, we would argue, is why investors want to be looking at MLPs and considering if they haven't already making an allocation to the asset class. And we would finally argue that distribution growth should really be your core position of your MLPs within the portfolio for the following four reasons. And that's on slide number 10. So the power of distribution growth, the primary benefits, there are four of them. Number one, it's a hedge against inflation. Number two, it's protection. Distribution growth is protection against rising interest rates. Number three, distribution growth improves the income quality that MLPs produce. And number four, distribution growth drives price appreciation. So I'll start with number one. Distribution growth is a hedge against inflation. Slide 11 looks at the power of distribution growth here, and we compare distribution growth versus inflation. And what we're looking at and where we're getting our statistics for distribution growth leaders, and this is part of our financial innovation, distribution growth leaders is a new segment. We're looking at growth MLPs, MLPs that have exhibited the highest quality growth rates across the asset class. And for this purpose, we're looking at the distribution growth leaders liquid index. And that's basically when I refer to distribution growth leaders from this point forward, that will be the index I'm referring to. So the distribution growth leaders index, historically, across the index, we've seen growth rates of 16% per annum from the companies that are part of the index. We compare that 16% growth rate per annum, distributable cash flow available to investors, so 2.5x that of the broader MLP asset class. But we compare it to inflation here. Inflation historically over the same period has run at 2%. Now, if we take inflation at a 3% level, well, 3% versus 16% growth rates, distribution growth leaders are clearly providing investors are clearly preserving the purchasing power of an investor's asset, which is very important if you're putting MLPs into a portfolio for someone who's moving into retirement and who's looking for stability of income over a long period of time. You want to ensure that these assets will continue to grow so that the cash that they're generating grows over time. We tried to quantify that concept here in the next slide on page 12, which if you apply a 16% growth rate to an income stream, and I'm going to try to keep this simple, and in fact, hopefully I'll succeed, and if not, ask me questions at the end. If you apply 16% growth rate relative, so from distribution growth leaders, the liquid index, relative to MLPs broadly speaking, you'll see one thing, and this is what the slide looks at. The dark bar, the green bar, is your distribution growth leaders, and the lighter bar is your MLP universe, or your broad-based MLPs. Over this 10-year period that we look at, growth rate of distribution growth leaders, it's four times the growth of income And I spoke earlier about income doubling over 10 years. When you have faster growing income, your income compounding over a 10-year period of time would actually quadruple. So if I wanted my salary to double, I'd really wish it would quadruple every 10 years. Distribution Growth Leaders, on a historical basis, has been able to produce this type of growth rate, which is tremendous in terms of income-producing capability over a long period of time. That compares with the doubling, the $5 growing to $10 for the asset class overall. This is one of the reasons, not only is it a hedge against inflation, but it means greater income overall from a long-term investment horizon. So one of the reasons why we believe Distribution Growth Leaders should be a core, the core holding in any MLP portfolio. Two, and the second benefit now on page 13, we look at protection, the protection that distribution growth offers relative to interest rates. And so the first slide here is looking at MLPs in general, and we as a firm looked at the last six cycles where 10-year interest rates were rising over an extended period of time that dates from September of 1993 through November of 94 through most recently April of 13 through December of 13, and the two lines show you where interest rates began and where interest rates ended. And the gold dot is the price return of MLPs over that period of time. Big picture, five out of this last six interest rate cycles where interest rates were rising, MLPs in general, not even Distribution Growth Leaders, MLPs are producing 7% growth rate historically, showed positive performance in five out of the six cycles. And those are the most recent five cycles where MLPs produced positive performance. We, in the next slide, we actually quantified what distribution growth means when you look at it in terms of yields. We used the same comparison where we look at MLPs relative to the distribution growth leaders, and you can see over time along with the growth in distributions, the growth in income, your yield is growing. So this chart, what it's looking at is if price was flat, if there was no price appreciation on your asset class, how would yields grow over time as your income grows? We can see distribution growth leaders, your yields would grow from 4.6%, 4.5% over a 10-year period to 17.5%. Interest rates would have to move a lot over a 10-year period in order to reach 17.5%. Or the spread, which is 350 basis points over 10-year treasuries, which would mean interest rates would have to rise to 14% over the same time frame in order for the historical spread between treasuries and MLPs to be breached. So just looking at the power again of distribution growth means higher yields. This is a great example here of not only what it means in income, as slide 12 demonstrated earlier, page 12. Now I'm on page 14. This slide, here's what it means in terms of yield, and yield relative to other investment alternatives determines to a large extent what the value of the investment is and the protection of the price of your investment over time. So not only is it higher income, it's also a protection against rising interest rates. Distribution growth is. Finally, as we move to the next slide and probably to, I know it's the third benefit, in my opinion, it's probably the first benefit is because it's one of the investment objective of all of Yorkville's strategies, and that is security of income, the quality of income. And we want to find and invest in partnerships that are, again, least likely, have the lowest probability of cutting their distributions. And so when you look at our Distribution Growth Leaders Liquid Index here, it is 20 times less likely. So Distribution Growth Leaders, MLPs that are exhibiting the fastest and highest quality distribution growth are the least likely to cut their distributions. In fact, when we compare it to the overall MLP universe, they're 20 times less likely to cut income or to cut their distributions. And it's so important for investors right now. And again, this is one of the arguments why it should be a core MLP distribution growth leader should be a core position in the portfolio or a core MLP position, because investors are worried about oil prices, recessions, rising interest rates. All of those mean one thing fundamentally. It means a cut in income or declining income ultimately. And what you're finding with distribution growth leaders on a historical basis through all of these various cycles, they're less likely to cut distribution. So the number one priority, stability of income, quality of income. They offer higher quality income. Not only is it faster growing, but it's higher quality income. And the fourth benefit that we mentioned here is really looking at higher total returns. Distribution growth ultimately drives price appreciation or drives your total returns. So what this bar chart is looking at here is your average distribution growth rates. On the left side, you can see negative 38% distribution growth rates, and then your next one is 2% growth rates, and then 8% growth rates, and then 24% distribution growth rates over periods of time. And as you see, growth rates go from negative growth rates equal negative performance. That's why Yorkville likes to avoid MLPs that are cutting their distributions or have any probability of cutting their distributions. And on the other end of the spectrum is why we look for partnerships that have clearly identifiable catalysts for future distribution growth rates, because you can see the higher the distribution growth rate, the better the total return was, the better the investment experience was for investors in MLPs. So MLPs that cut their distributions lost money. MLPs that grew their distributions fastest made investors the most amount of money. So in summary, distribution growth gives you not only more income over time, not only higher yields as a result of the greater income, but greater stability of income, higher quality of income, and leads to the best total return or best performance from an investor standpoint. For those four reasons, we argue that distribution growth leaders should be the core to an MLP well-diversified portfolio. Page 17 looks at the Yorkville MLP distribution growth leaders, the liquid index, the portfolio characteristics. It's the weighted yield on the portfolio is 4.6%. And the distribution growth in the most recent quarter was 13.6% on a year-over-year basis. And the market capitalization to deliver this type of growth is still almost $15 billion. So we don't have to sacrifice quality and move into more small-cap names in order to get the distribution growth we're talking about. Right? And ultimately, if you move into more small-cap names, you think of lower quality, and that would lead to riskier fundamentals. In this case, we're not. It's a 14.6, almost $15 billion average market cap across the portfolio, growing its distributions at 14%, almost 13.6% in the most recent quarter, and delivering a yield of 4.6%. This is the first index that was created in Yorkville, again, dealing with financial innovation. It was the first firm to introduce to investors, and the way we've been investing for the past 20 years is focusing on distribution growth leaders. Our dual mandate, number one, quality of income, stability of distributions, unlikely to cut, and clearly identifiable catalysts for future distribution growth rates. Page 18, it looks at deconstructing total returns here on the asset class, and specifically for this index. You take your current income, you add your growth of income, plus your price of appreciation, and growth of income drives your price appreciation. That equals your total return. So when we apply these on the next page, page 19, to the distribution growth leaders liquid index, that's your large cap, high quality index, 4.6% current yield plus 13.6% distribution growth, back of the envelope equals price return potential of 18.2%. It's incredible that within the security of income within U.S. energy infrastructure and asset class and growth mode, that it would offer this type of return potential driven by the distribution growth, and as you can see, our whole story, how it comes together, relates back to our stability ratio and our growth ratio. So it allows you as investors to monitor the overall health of the asset class. So on the final slide, and I'm going to open it up to Q&A and turn it back over to Christian Magoon, is Yorkville Capital Management. We want to keep investors current on MLPs. We're very concerned and are very focused on financial innovation, and at the same time, we're very concerned and very focused on investor education. We want to offer you transparent. We want to keep you current on what's going on with MLPs. We offer the following. Our website is a great resource. We offer the following free publications, a monthly MLP newsletter. We do quarterly webinars. We come out with frequent white papers on the asset class. You can go on the website under Contact Us and be added to our distribution list, and we'll send you all of these publications and invite you on to future webinars. Again, that's at yorkvillecapital.com. Our phone number is below. We're accessible, my toll-free or our New York number. And if you want to send us an email, it's info@yorkvillecapital.com. What I encourage you to do is please ask questions today. And I want to thank you for your patience and for joining us on today's conference call. And, Christian, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Darren. That was some great data and insight into the MLP space. I think probably some surprises for some with some of the conclusions you were able to draw from the data you provided, whether that would be oil prices relative to MLP performance or even MLP performance during the last several rising rate cycles that we've experienced in the U.S. markets. So I think that was some great color, and I think probably provided people with some very solid data to be able to make some decisions on when it comes to their MLP allocations. I can just say personally that I do receive Yorkville's MLP research, their MLP Beat newsletter, and it's chock full of data like we just went through in this webinar. In fact, several of the charts, whether it's stability score or growth score or pullback of MLPs versus oil or things like that, all of those are seen being consistently updated in that MLP Beat newsletter that you can sign up for on yorkvillecapital.com. So certainly a lot of great information and guidance available. We're now going to move to kind of the Q&A period here. One question from the group was, does YMLP, which is one of the Yorkville ETFs, track the Distribution Growth Leaders Index? And I can answer that, and the answer is no. That ETF is tracks a different index, an infrastructure index. Another question from an advisor. Is there an optimal length for contract coverage for an MLP as far as your investment strategy is concerned? In other words, do you want sales revenues to be contracted for how many years ahead? I think this refers, Darren, to the fact that MLPs generally have contracts to be basically toll takers on these pipelines and other infrastructure projects, which I think reduces their sensitivity or many of the MLP sensitivity to spot oil prices, but perhaps you can comment on that in terms of contract lengths.
No, I would be delighted to. When we look at infrastructure investments, U.S. energy infrastructure investments, really that's the asset class, and those are the assets that we are investing in. And MLPs are really a structure that hold these underlying assets. So infrastructure investments, the longer the contract, the better, would be our answer. And the reason for that, it gives us as analysts and ultimately as analysts able to make investment decisions based on our analysis, the longer the contract covers, the greater our ability is to forecast what future distributions will look like based on the current asset footprint of a partnership. And so where we see contracts, anywhere from 5 to 30 years, and the longer the contract, the better and the more confident we are of forecasting future distribution growth rates.
Okay. One question, this is kind of an interesting question. Do historical MLP distribution growth, will historical distribution growth leaders in the MLP space remain the distribution growth leaders in the future? Is it self-fulfilling that today's distribution growth leaders are going to be the future distribution growth leaders? Are you seeing a lot of that change or turnover? Can you talk a little bit about the sustainability maybe even of that?
Sure. So it's the question's twofold. One is the once a distribution growth leader, always a distribution growth leader, and two, what's the sustainability of future distribution growth? So to answer the first question, no. The MLPs as an asset class lend themselves to active management. There are new partnerships appearing all the time in the forms of new IPOs coming to market, new IPOs that have different growth characteristics for a number of different reasons. Some of them are strong sponsorship, which means a GP, a general partner, or parent, if you want to simplify it for illustrative purposes, that can drop a lot of assets down into the partnership or sell a lot of assets to the partnership in an accretive fashion that helps grow distribution rates. So it will vary over time depending on the asset footprint again and the future growth, either through drop-downs or by building new assets. So if it's a strong sponsor or parent that has assets to drop down, that's one way of growing distributions. And the second way of growing distributions for MLP is building. So we call it buy, which is the first way, or building, number two, which is building new infrastructure projects. So if you're in the Bakken in North Dakota, that's as we like to call it, a new energy frontier in this country. It's the second largest oil-producing state in the nation. And still, it's only transporting 30% of its oil through pipelines. And so there's a tremendous infrastructure need in North Dakota alone, because pipelines are not only safer to transport energy, oil, natural gas, refined product, but they're also cheaper. So that relates to your second question, Christian, which is the sustainability of the overall growth of MLPs. And Morgan Stanley conducted a study or outsourced a study to a third-party think tank. And they came back, and the study was, what are the estimated needs of U.S. energy infrastructure, the investment or capital expenditure, so it's referred to CapEx, that will be needed to fuel the U.S.'s continued growth of oil and natural gas production growth. And the numbers came back and said between $80 and $90 billion a year. So MLPs currently have a market capitalization of around $600 billion, which, to put that in perspective, is around the same size as REITs are today. And if we see another $1 trillion is what that 80 to 90 a year over the next 12 years comes to, the MLP asset class has the potential, again, of more than doubling from its current size over the next 10-plus years. So the growth rate in front of us, and as a firm, we talked about that in the first slide, or Christian did, as a team, not as a firm, as a team, we've been investing in MLPs for 20 years. And over that time frame, we've never seen a backdrop, a macroeconomic backdrop, where production growth is actually increasing in the United States. Most of our lifetime, it's been on a declining production curve from the 80s through the mid-2000s. So an increasing production curve, new energy frontiers, the North Dakotas of the United States that need infrastructure. So we know where infrastructure's, we see production growth, we know where infrastructure's needed, and we know that this is a sustainable cycle for the next, for the foreseeable future, and clearly more than an investment horizon for most investors. And then we help quantify that, and Christian, that goes back to the stability score and growth score. We want to help investors make money in MLPs and not get hurt. in their investment. And that's why we want and have always prided ourselves on transparency in what we do. And by publishing the stability score and growth score, we are looking at 100% of all publicly traded partnerships, and we're calculating for investors how many of them increased, maintained, increased, or cut distributions every quarter, and how much did they grow by. So ultimately, look at the numbers and see that they're supporting the fundamental thesis that MLPs are an asset class in growth mode. If the numbers are coming through, if the growth is coming through, if the stability score is high, the investment thesis remains in place. If they start to weaken, then the investment thesis, either it's a blip or it's a trend that there's no more opportunities to build or buy for these partnerships. So we see sustainability. So to answer the question in summary, growth leaders will change over time. That's why this index is rebalanced semi-annually, so two times a year. We go back in and look for the MLPs that are exhibiting the highest quality distribution growth on twice a year to see if there's any changes in the index constituents. Amount of projects needed across the country are going to continue to fuel future distribution growth rates. So hopefully that answers that question.
Yeah, I think it does. Let's move on to another question here. This is a little bit more general. A lot of people look at the Alerian MLP Index as kind of the S&P 500 of MLPs, right? So the question is from an advisor, how does your index compare/differ versus that Alerian MLP Index? And, you know, I'm guessing maybe you want to focus in on one of your indexes here, maybe distribution growth, and maybe, you know, how does it compare maybe in terms of, let's just say, distribution growth, maybe yield, and maybe some of the performance characteristics. That might be a couple of general points at least to handle in a short amount of time here.
Okay, perfect. So I'll do exactly that. I'll compare the Alerian, which is the S&P 500 for MLPs relative to this the Yorkville Distribution Growth Leaders Index we've been discussing today. So distribution growth for Alerian historically is around that is around 7%. And so for the distribution growth leaders, you've seen 16%. So your distribution growth out of the index is over two times greater than MLPs in general. The yield on the distribution growth leader index was shown on page 17, is 4.6%. The yield on MLPs in general is around 5.5% right now, a little over 5%. So you're picking up twice the income growth. You're giving up approximately 1% in current income. And then on a performance level, sort of again, back of the envelope, distribution growth plus yield gives you an idea of what the performance potential. So if you look at the Alerian, 7 plus 5% is 12% potential growth rate going forward. In distribution growth leaders, 16% plus 4% is 20% performance potential going forward. What we've seen on a historical basis is approximately that type of performance differential as well between distribution growth leaders. So the Alerian is broad-based MLP exposure. It's also called beta exposure. It's not differentiated on anything. It's not trying to look for better fundamentals. And the Yorkville Distribution Growth Leader Liquid Index is looking for quality. It's really looking to find MLPs that offer the highest quality, fastest growing income. And so those are the difference of the characteristics.
So if someone had a Bloomberg in front of them, they could pull up the index. What is that Distribution Growth Leaders Bloomberg index ticker, just if they wanted to compare the indexes?
Okay. Christian, let me just get the correct indexes. There's a total return for that and a price return, and I'll come back to you on that before the call is over, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
So let's move to this next question. It's a two-parter from an advisor. How far out can you or do you expect to accurately forecast MLP distribution growth, first part of the question, And then second, when that growth inevitably slows or flattens out, what kind of yield do you think your index companies or MLPs in general deserve to trade at? So first, kind of how far out do you think you expect to accurately forecast distribution growth? And then the second part of the question was, assuming that growth eventually slows or flattens out, what kind of yield do you think MLPs or the Distribution Growth Leaders Index deserves to trade at?
Okay. The first question, let's look, is forward-looking. So how far out can we forecast our distribution growth? And that would relate to an earlier question that was asked, what are the contract lengths? And so depending on the contract lengths, that gives us an idea of how comfortable we are with distribution growth rate, at least the base case scenario. I'd say that 3 to 5 years across the entire MLP asset class, we're really comfortable with being able to forecast the fundamentals out 3 to 5 years with a fairly high degree of certainty and a high degree of confidence. The second question is really a little more difficult on yield, because I would put that this way, and I think that MLP's current income is the fixed income side of the investment equation in MLPs, and growth of income is the equity portion of the equation. But if you don't have growth in income of MLPs, your fixed income, there's no steady state. Your fixed income will actually start to decline. So either MLPs are growing or they're not. I would think longer term, looking out on this asset class, going out 10, 20, 30 years, because what you'll have is you need production. So you need flow ultimately. These are toll roads that are moving oil, natural gas, or refined product from point A to point B. And so if volume is not there, which would be long-term, if we run out of energy and we're no longer flowing any of the aforementioned categories, then there'd be no more income on the pipeline. So I think that critical to an investment case in MLPs and the way you should be looking at it as investors, and that's, again, why we created the stability score and the growth score, is what is the distribution growth rate going forward? And when growth rate no longer materializes, you have to question your whole investment thesis behind MLPs, because if growth is no longer there, why is stability going to be there? Correct? Because growth is coming out of flow, and if flow is no longer there, why would MLPs be maintaining distributions? And the answer to that, logically, is they wouldn't be. So there's no steady state. MLPs are need to continue to grow and their distributions, and again, that's why we're providing investors with those two scores to be able to monitor on an ongoing basis that distributions continue to materialize over time.
Here's a question I have then as a follow-up to that. You know, what are the latest estimates in terms of, you know, basically MLP growth here in the U.S.? I mean, I've seen quite a bit of estimates on kind of the growth of infrastructure that needs to occur here, I think maybe as far out as 2025, perhaps. I don't know if you have an update on that.
Well, absolutely. So I think, again, the concern that distribution growth isn't going to be here is remote because of the amount of infrastructure that's needed within the United States. And so the numbers out to 2025, we've seen it as high as $1.2 trillion of new infrastructure. The primary formation of capital of this $1.2 trillion will come through the MLP structure. MLPs have again, we're looking at $600 billion market cap, so $1.2 trillion is 2 times greater than the existing market cap of MLPs today. So the growth story behind MLPs is really, in our opinion, multi-decade. But again, we want to give investors the ability and the tools to look at and analyze the growth themselves, and And again, we publish those two scores. So, Christian, the growth rate is for CapEx requirements, the building and the needing of new infrastructure, over $1 trillion, you know, over this next, you know, 10, 20 years. So plenty of growth prospects going forward, and all of it's being driven by unconventional formations, unconventional shale plays. So,
great. So here's a question from an astute webinar participant, and it really has to do with MLPs and oil prices. So the question, though, is not how MLPs performed really when oil prices are down, but the correlation of oil prices when they are rising, MLPs, how MLPs perform. So, you know, the kind of centers around whether kind of the upside downside capture ratio of MLPs versus oil. I think we looked, and I think from the chart, I can't remember what slide that was early on, where oil declines, you saw a lot less, if not flat, MLP prices. Consequently, when oil prices rise, are MLPs, you know, missing out on maybe some of that upside, or is this more just a function of the fact that MLPs are signing longer-term contracts that really make them a lot less sensitive to oil's rise and fall over, you know, a 3 to 5 year period?
Christian, it's the latter. It's the fact that MLPs are signing long-term contracts that are not tied to commodity prices. So the contract isn't saying if the price of oil is 100, I'm going to make more money, or if it's 60, I'm going to make less money. The long-term contracts are capacity contracts in general terms, which would, the best analogy for most people would be if you rent a house, and within fire code, but if you rent a house, the landlord doesn't really care if you have a family of eight or a family of two. You're still going to pay the same amount of rent per month for the same capacity for that same one house. And it's the same with pipelines. You're leasing capacity on the pipeline regardless of how much flow you put through. Not beyond your capacity, but is up to that capacity, you're going to pay a fixed amount. And it's generally, it's not tied to commodity prices. Not if commodity prices go up, you're going to pay us more money. If they go down, no. MLP management teams want to remove all of this commodity sensitivity from their contracts, because the management teams recognize that they need to have stable cash flows coming out of the partnerships that they can forecast so that they can maintain and increase their distributions going forward. So the management and the investors, our interests are aligned. Management wants long-term contracts without commodity prices so that they can maintain and increase their distributions. And because in maintaining and increasing distributions, it lowers their cost of capital, which means they can go out and buy more assets or build more assets and continue to increase distributions to investors, and in doing so, keep their cost of capital lower, which is a tremendous competitive advantage when you're in the infrastructure business. How much does it cost me to borrow money to go out and build projects or to buy projects? So the cheaper my cost of borrowing is, again, to buy a house, the lower your interest rates are, the better, you know, the more house you can buy. In this case, the more return you can produce for investors on the same cash flow. Was that a good answer, or is that complicated?
It was good. It answered the question, and we've hit the top of the hour, a little bit past. There's some questions that were asked that either we're not able to address because they deal with specific products Yorkville is part of, and those products aren't part of this webinar in terms of the proper disclosures and permissions to speak about. Some of them, other questions we just weren't able to get to. Those of you who put your names or emails on your questions, someone from Yorkville Capital Management or one of their partners will reach out and contact you with answers. Darren, one more time, if you could just tell us if someone wanted to speak to you directly or talk to one of the analysts in your group, how do they? What's the best way for them to reach you, either via email or phone? I think that would be appreciated.
Sure. So our toll-free number here would be 877-317-8128, and that works in the United States. Outside, dial 212-755-1970. If you just want to send an email, info@yorkvillecapital.com for an email, and then the Christian to the index, if someone wants to look up on Bloomberg, the Distribution Growth Leaders Liquid Index is, the ticker symbol is YGMLL, and that's and then put TR on the end, so YGMLLTR gives you the total return of that index.
Great. Well, with that, we'll wrap it up. Thanks to Yorkville Capital Management and speaker today, Darren Scheringa. I'm Christian Magoon. We'd also like to thank Capital Link for hosting this webinar today, and we hope that it added value to you, especially as we go through all these changing market conditions as it relates to the MLP space. Thanks, everyone, for your time, and make it a great rest of your week. Thank you.